Welcome to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive, a podcast for newcomers by newcomers. We'll give you the information, resources, and tips you need to build a successful life here. Whether you're exploring your immigration options, looking for your first job, starting your studies as an international student, or adapting to life in Canada, this podcast will set you up for a smooth journey. Now let's get you home.
Hi everyone, I'm Sugandha Mahajan, and I will be your host for today's episode. I moved to Canada from India as a permanent resident 3 years ago under the Federal Skilled Worker Program, and I am very much looking forward to the next step in my journey, which is becoming a Canadian citizen. And even more so, I am looking forward to getting done with all this residency-related paperwork. Today, I'm with Andrea Bailey. Andrea is a regulated Canadian immigration consultant, and she is the founder of Yala Canada, an immigration consulting firm based in Ontario. And in this episode, we will talk about how you should choose the right immigration consultant for Canada. Hey, Andrea, welcome back to our podcast. How are you today?
Hi, Sugandha. I'm doing really well. I really enjoyed recording the episode on Canadian immigration programs with Clem earlier on. And so I'm really happy to be back.
Oh, yeah. I heard that episode. It was incredibly informative. Listeners, if you're looking for information on Canada's immigration programs and tips on how you should go about identifying which PR program you're most likely to qualify under, I highly recommend that you listen to that episode. You can also find a detailed overview of the various immigration programs Canada offers, as well as their eligibility criteria, in our Immigrating to Canada guide, which I will link out to in the episode description. Now, I know from personal experience that it is not always easy to figure out which immigration program is ideal for you. And the PR application process can be even harder. Many prospective newcomers prefer to hire an immigration consultant, but unfortunately, there are many fake agents and unqualified consultants out there. And every year, we hear so many stories about people getting scammed by agents or applications being rejected because they weren't filed properly. So today, let's talk about the things that people should keep in mind before they sign up with an immigration consultant. First things first, Andrea, is working with an immigration consultant mandatory, or can people file immigration applications on their own as well?
So, Sugandha, you don't necessarily have to hire an immigration consultant. But since the process is new to most people applying, many newcomers prefer to get their advice and support from a qualified consultant. The advantage of working with a consultant is that they know all about the available immigration programs and can help you pick the right one. Plus, they've done this many times before. They know the laws, they know the requirements, so you're less likely to have mistakes or missed information on your application forms if a consultant is advising you or even submitting your application for you. It also saves you the time and the hassle of filling out the application and tracking its status. So if you have a complex situation, or if you're opting for a program that has a complex application process, it's probably easier, wiser, and safer to work with a consultant. But working with an immigration consultant is always optional. Do remember that you absolutely can decide to file your application on your own.
And there's no preferential treatment for applications that have been submitted through an immigration consultant. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't get processed faster or anything, right?
No, nothing like that, actually. As long as your application is error-free and complete, the processing time, the success rate remains absolutely the same, regardless of who has submitted it. Now, that being said, a consultant can advise you on how to strengthen your application, for example, by including additional documentation that's not expressly asked for. So that's definitely an advantage. It's kind of like working with an accountant to do your taxes. You could file your taxes on your own, but an accountant will definitely help you make sure you're claiming all the deductions you're entitled to, which you might have missed without the help of the expert.
Fair enough. Now, Andrea, you are a regulated Canadian immigration consultant, or RCIC. What exactly does that mean?
Yes. So, Sugandha, the Government of Canada requires all consultants who are giving advice on immigrating to Canada or submitting Canadian immigration applications on people's behalf to be licensed by the College of Immigration and Citizenship Consultants, or the CICC. Okay. So it doesn't matter where your consultant is based. They could be in Canada, they could be in India, they could be anywhere in the world, but they would only be legitimate immigration consultants if they are authorized by the CICC. Now, the CICC actually issues two different types of immigration consulting licenses. One is for the Regulated Canadian Immigration Consultants, or RCICs, and that's the one I have. And the other one is for the Regulated International Student Immigration Advisors, or the RISIAs, as we call them. So an RCIC is someone who is licensed by the CICC or the college to provide immigration-related advice and services to people who want to move to Canada. RCICs can provide guidance on any type of Canadian immigration programs, including various PR programs, study permits, work permits. They can offer a range of services, including help in choosing the right program, advise you on improving your chances of qualifying for immigration, and they can also prepare and submit your immigration application on your behalf.
Got it. And do you need any special qualifications to become an RCIC?
Yes, you do. So to become an RCIC, you need to have completed a graduate diploma in immigration and citizenship law and then passing a licensing examination. Essentially, you need a thorough, in-depth knowledge of immigration laws and processes. There are other requirements as well, such as having a strong English or French language skill set. Only permanent residents and citizens of Canada can get an RCIC license. But once you're licensed, you could practically set up your practice anywhere in the world.
That makes sense. Okay, now how is an RCIC different from a RISIA?
Yeah, great question. So a RISIA, or a Regulated International Student Immigration Advisor, can specialize only in study permit applications.
Okay.
They cannot help with any other type of Canadian immigration applications. So unlike RCICs, RISIAs are only advisors. They cannot, and please note, they cannot fill out or submit your study permit application on your behalf. They can only advise you. They are typically affiliated to a particular university or a college in Canada. So once you get admission into a school, you can find out who the affiliated RISIA is, get in touch with them, ask them for advice, and they can help you with your study permit application.
Okay, got it. So that only happens once you've been accepted into a school.
Mm-hmm.
Andrea, I've also heard about immigration lawyers for Canada. How are lawyers different from consultants?
Another great question. So immigration lawyers have passed the bar exam and are licensed to practice law in a Canadian province. So not only have they closely studied immigration and citizenship law, they can also represent you in a Canadian court if your immigration or citizenship application is subject to a legal hearing. Usually this only happens in complex cases, like if you're found to be inadmissible to Canada due to past criminal history, medical reasons, or if you were found to have misrepresented information on your application or are being threatened with deportation. Aside from that, immigration lawyers offer services very similar to immigration consultants, such as advice on immigration programs and submitting your application on your behalf.
Okay, so RISIAs, RCICs, and immigration lawyers. These are the folks who are authorized or licensed to help with Canadian immigration applications. Andrea, can you tell our audience how they can confirm whether the agent or consultant they're working with or whom they're considering hiring is authorized to provide those services?
Yes, absolutely. Every RCIC and RISIA will have a unique registration number, which you can ask them to show you.
Okay.
You can also confirm their license status online using the CICC online register. This register will give you a lot of information, including whether the consultant is actually licensed currently, whether they have faced any disciplinary action or suspension, and their contact information as well. If you're looking for an immigration consultant within a particular region, then you can search through the CICC register by country, province, or region. Can you please include the link here, Sugandha, to the CICC website in your episode notes so our audience can easily find it?
Absolutely. We will definitely include that link in. Andrea, this information is extremely helpful. So with RCICs, you don't necessarily have to work with an immigration consultant based in your home country.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find one based in Canada or elsewhere.
Yes.
And like Andrea said, the CICC register is a good place to start your search. In fact, you can also find a list of active RISIAs on the CICC website, along with information on the universities that they're affiliated with if you're applying for a study permit. Andrea, any other tips on how our listeners can find an immigration consultant to work with?
Yes, for sure. Lots of my clients actually come to me because someone I worked with in the past recommended me and my services. So if you have any family members or friends who've moved to Canada with a particular consultant's help, ask them how the experience was, what that experience felt like for them with that particular consultant. Were they happy with the way their case was handled? Could the consultant have done anything differently? Did the consultant explain the program and process clearly? What kind of challenges or difficulties did they face with the issue of their application? And most importantly, would they recommend working with that consultant to anyone else in the future?
Okay, that's a good tip. But what about people who don't know anybody who used a consultant to move to Canada?
Yeah, so in that case, I would highly recommend using the CICC register to find a consultant. And when you contact them, do ask the questions. You know, if they can share any referrals or connect you with people they have worked with in the past, past clients, and speak to those clients, get their feedback and input as well. Regardless of how you find a consultant, I would advise, please do your due diligence. Ask the questions about their training, their years of experience, their areas of specialization. Those are important. And before you sign any contract with them, do inquire about the services that they offer, whether they will only advise or whether they will submit the application on your behalf. How often will they be in communication with you and update you about the status of your application? How long will that process take? Also, I would ask them to clarify how much they would charge and compare their fees with other consultants in the region. Now, a legitimate consultant will always give you a written contract that specifically mentions the terms you have discussed, including their services and their fees. So be sure to read that contract very carefully before you sign it and always ask for a countersigned copy for your own records.
That makes sense, Andrea. Now, let's talk about some of the red flags that people should watch out for while hiring an immigration consultant, or other signs that might mean that this consultant isn't legitimate or that you might be getting scammed. Mm-hmm. For instance, we often hear about educational consultants based outside of Canada who claim that they can help foreign students get admission into Canadian universities or colleges, or even promise to get them study permits. But the truth is, an agent or a consultant cannot guarantee you admission into a Canadian school, because that decision will always be up to the university or college.
Correct.
Nor can they guarantee that your study permit application will be approved. So if an agent makes promises about that, it's usually a red flag.
That is absolutely, absolutely true. Plus, licensed RECEERs are only based in Canada and affiliated to a particular college or university. So you'll only need the services of a student immigration advisor after you get admission into a Canadian study program. You could also work with an RCIC, but then again, you'll need to get into the school on your own merit initially. Also, if you're applying for permanent residence or a work permit, stay clear of immigration consultants who promise you a job in exchange for money or who make guarantees that your PR application will be approved.
Yeah.
Even though regulated consultants usually have a good idea of which applications have a stronger chance of being approved and which don't, they cannot make any guarantees.
That makes a lot of sense. Andrea, any other warning signs that people should keep an eye out for?
Well, we spoke about the fact that all RCICs are registered with the CICC. So if an immigration consultant refuses to share their CICC ID number or provide references that you could contact, that could be a red flag. They could be unauthorized. Now, bear in mind that if you're working with an immigration lawyer, they won't be associated with the CICC, but they would have a provincial law association listing.
So and look, they can share that as well.
Okay. Absolutely. So look for that. And getting references from past clients is always a good idea. And a good immigration consultant with a proven track record should have no problem connecting you with some of their other satisfied clients. So another thing to keep in mind is that authorized RCICs and immigration lawyers can submit Canadian immigration applications on your behalf. So if a consultant tells you that they can only guide you but can't submit the application for you, they are probably not licensed. Another red flag.
Okay. And do remember that this does not apply to RECEERs. Mm-hmm. If you are working with a regulated international student immigration advisor for a study permit application, then they cannot submit your application on your behalf. Another warning sign potentially might be if a consultant asks for a fee that is much lower than the usual in your region. There are fake consultants out there who misrepresent their services or their pricing. Like, they may claim initially that their services are free or low cost,
mm.
but then might force you to pay more to complete your application.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, a good consultant will give you a complete breakdown of all the costs involved before you sign a contract. And this includes the service fee that they will charge, the application processing fee that's paid to the government, including right of permanent residence fee, biometrics, and more. And they'll also tell you what the payment schedule or the payment timelines are going to be.
Yes, and if a consultant refuses to give you a signed contract, that's a red flag as well.
No.
You don't want to be in a situation where they refuse to stick to their terms and conditions that you agreed to, or don't provide all the services that you need down the line, or even worse, ask for money further down as well, right? So any legitimate immigration consultant will always give you a payment receipt, and they won't ask you to pay by cash or Bitcoin. If a consultant tells you they can't accept bank transfers, that could be a scam as well.
Yeah, that's an important one. I've heard about that one before. Another thing I want to point out is that even if you're hiring an immigration consultant, you are personally responsible for everything that's included in your application. So absolutely avoid consultants who ask you to misrepresent facts or provide false information on documents for your application. Lying on your immigration application is a crime in Canada. And even in the off chance that your application ends up getting approved, you can be denied entry at the border or can even be deported.
Yes, absolutely. And I cannot stress this enough. So there have been instances of people getting deported years after they moved to Canada and built their lives here, because the IRCC found a discrepancy in their immigration documents.
And in a lot of cases, it's not even their fault.
Correct.
They didn't read the documents.
Yes, or it could be a simple mistake even. That's misconstrued, right, as misrepresentation.
Mm-hmm.
So you do not want to take a risk like that. Recently, there has been a scandal about a consultant who submitted fake documents on behalf of many international students several years ago. Some of those students have been in Canada for years. They are still at risk of being deported because they signed off on fake documents submitted in their name by that fraudulent consultant.
So
all this is to say that you should really insist on reading every document that you sign extremely carefully. Never sign anything blank, no blank paperwork, I mean. And if you don't understand what a document says or specifies, ask someone you trust to explain it to you.
Yeah, and I know that some prospective newcomers aren't well-versed in mm-hmm. English or French. So if that's the case, don't hesitate to bring in a translator or a friend or family member who is fluent in the language your application
mm-hmm.
is, whether that's English or French.
Yes.
Andrea, we've talked quite a bit about regulated consultants, including the services, how to find them, and signs that a consultant or agent might not be entirely trustworthy. But the reality is that there are still a lot of unregulated consultants in the market, including people who offer immigration services for multiple countries. So why is it so important to work with a regulated consultant?
Yeah, that's an important question. So the first risk of working with an unregulated agent is obviously the risk of getting scammed.
Hmm.
Since they aren't registered with any regulatory body, you can't be sure that they are running a legitimate business. Now, there have been instances of fake consultants making big promises, taking people's money, and then just completely disappearing. It has been happening fairly often, actually. You also don't know what their credentials are and whether they understand Canadian immigration law. So even if they don't have any ill intent, it's quite possible that they don't have all the knowledge and experience with Canadian immigration programs that they would require. They might not know all the documentation that you require, how you can improve your chances of qualifying, or even the right way to fill out your application. The government of Canada does not recognize unregulated consultants, and this is another important point. It doesn't matter whether you've paid them or you have a contract with them. If they aren't licensed by the CICC, the government of Canada and the IRCC will not communicate with them at all.
Okay, and this non-communication, why is that a risk?
Because sometimes the back and forth communication may be required for your application process. Like, for example, if you have a document missing or there are some unforeseen delays in the processing of your application, or if it's rejected and you want to find out why. So if you're not comfortable handling this communication yourself, then you need a consultant who can speak to the IRCC on your behalf. And that can only really be an RCIC, a RECIA, or an immigration lawyer.
All right.
And finally, the government of Canada clearly states that it is at the end of the day, your responsibility to make sure that the consultant you hire is authorized by the CICC. So if you work with an unregulated consultant and they make a mistake on your application or defraud you in any way, the government is not going to intervene. So you're not going to be able to file a complaint. You'll be fully considered responsible for your own application. So if there are mistakes or misrepresentations or falsified information in there, you're not going to be able to blame the consultant.
Okay. That's super helpful, Andrea. I was just thinking back to the document checklist that I got when I was submitting my BR application. And one of the optional forms on there was about the use of a representative.
Mm-hmm.
Is a representative the same as an immigration consultant?
Not exactly. So a representative is anyone who has provided advice or guidance on your immigration application or submitted it for you, regardless of whether you paid them for their service or not. So an immigration representative can be an RCIC that you've paid, but it could also be a family member, a friend, or someone who's just helping you for free.
Okay. So just to make sure that I'm getting this right, an immigration consultant is a representative, but not all representatives are immigration consultants.
That's exactly right. And you only need that form if you're working with a representative. So fill out that form if you want IRCC to communicate with that particular representative instead of communicating with you directly.
All right. Andrea, this brings me to my final question. Can you give our audience some idea of how much it costs to hire an immigration consultant?
Yeah. Now, honestly, that would vary significantly based on the type of application you want to submit, the services that's being provided, and where the consultant is based as well.
Mm.
But let's say ballpark. For express entry, you could expect to pay anywhere between $1,000 to $4,500, plus around $500 per additional applicant, if your application includes a spouse and children, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Now, PNP or Provincial Nomination Program applications are slightly more expensive because they require more work. It's usually between $2,500 to $5,000, depending on the province and the stream. For work permits, the fee would typically range between, I'd say, $1,500 to $3,500, depending on your occupation. Okay. RECIAs usually get paid by the university or college that they're affiliated with. So they don't typically charge students for their services.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're working with an RCIC to submit your study permit application, they might charge you anywhere between $700 to $2,500.
Okay.
And the fee could be higher if you've been refused a study permit before because it's a bit more complex, there's a lot more work involved, etc. But I would highly recommend doing your own research before you sign that contract. And also check the IRCC website to find out what the application processing charges are for your program and any other related fees that you need to pay to the Government of Canada.
Also, remember that neither the consultant's fee nor the processing charges are refundable if your application is rejected.
Yes.
So that makes it all the more important to work with the right consultant.
Correct.
Andrea, thank you so much for taking out the time to chat with me today. I hope our listeners will use the tips that you shared here today to make informed decisions when it's time to hire an immigration consultant. We will also include a link to Andrea's website, Yala Canada, in the episode description, so please do feel free to get in touch with her for consultancy services. I also recommend that you read our Immigration Guide for Canada, which is also linked out to in the episode description, to get an overview of Canada's popular immigration programs and their eligibility criteria. Thank you for listening to the Countdown to Canada podcast by Arrive. For other newcomer resources to help with your career, life, and finances in Canada, check out our website, arrivein.com, and subscribe to our podcast. We hope to see you back for the next episode.